David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
See how I'm walking, see how I'm talking, though it is heavy thing in me. Oh, feel the need in me. I need you by my side to be my guide. I can see my arms to open wide. Baby, feel the need.
Roth Radio, feeling it, baby. First thing in the morning, second thing in the afternoon. Some of you are happy hour. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. A lot of good guests this day. Coming up, Steve Kendall from My Favorite Magazine. I'm the one who's actually pointing at some of these guests here. I just put to my favorite magazines or my favorite television shows. I'm the one who said, hey, let's bring in Derek Trucks yesterday. I saw him on the TV set. He said, it sounded great. Let's put him up on the show here. Steve Kendall coming in from Candell from Blender Magazine. He's going to talk about the worst moments in the history of reality TV. And also Bert Kreischer from Spike TV's Fresh Baked Video Games. Get set up.
I'll come on and feel it.
You all in the corner, get up. Everyone in the back, move forward. I feel good. You look good. You guys are amazing. Let's go.
Be young. Anyway, Steve Candell. I keep getting that wrong. Steve Candell, he's the writer for Blender Magazine, and this April, Blender Magazine unveils its first ever, this is named after Dick Clark, the first ever Dick Awards to honor the craziest moments in all of music, reality, TV. Like I said, Dick Awards are named, of course, after Dick Clark, the man who created the concept of music on TV. That's an arguable comment there. But some of these categories include the David Cassidy Never Had This Problem Award. Ooh, the mind reels. Most un-hip-hop moment on stage. Lowest moment by a Motley Crue member. Well, the mind fairly reels, huh? How would you be able to determine the lowest moment from the highest moment? Because to me, the lowest moments are the highs of that band's career, right? And they're going to give away a Dick Award, of course, named after Dick Clark, to the worst impersonation of a rock star. The first question that pops into my mind is it cool to award this to an actual rock star? Because I can think of plenty of rock stars who should be busted for the worst impersonation of same, right? Give it up, man. Oh, baby. we also have coming up in a little while, Bert Kreischer. Bert is the host of the Spike TV series Fresh Baked Video Games, which airs Saturday nights at midnight. I've seen this. This is a spectacular show. And Fresh Baked has been compared to some of the best stuff on the TV. They take the wind out of the sails of the video games, and they do like Grand Theft Auto, and they do sketches that utilize real video game footage, etc. Also says that Bert was recently named the number one party guy by Rolling Stone magazine. Well, time to relinquish the title, huh? Give it up. We started talking about the video games yesterday. What is it, 25 to Life? Or whatever, the game where you get to shoot the cops. Or then somebody called up and said, no, there's an even better game where the cops are the bad guys. And, you know, it's the same impulse, right? Everybody likes to play cops and robbers. There's a very thin line between the two. You know, you could kind of waver either way at some point there. But I wonder if the cops are going to play that game. What do you think? Would they? Of course they would. I don't even know that the cops particularly care as far as what you got to say and, you know, in front of the kids or whatever. But every movie, every television has this. Now you've got the contrast that makes fun of the video games. Okay, I think that's healthy. Okay, Grand Theft Auto. And, I'm going to let him tell the whole story here. My favorite was, I forget the actual title. I saw it through the window on the box. It said White Trash something or other. Three times the violence, half the brains. Got to get that one. Got to get it. That's B. Young in the front of the room up there. He's playing with the guitar array live in the studio, track blasting. I also want to comment on an email that came in here regarding the Debbie Harry comments that I made yesterday, that she had gone on the air. We played a sample of it, in fact, where she described that Women's Lib was just kicking in when she started in the band, and that she was one of the ones who really brought that to the forefront. And I digressed a little bit there. You know, from what I'd been reading, Women's Lib actually started in the 1960s. And, you know, that was all Band the Bra, etc. As far as being the first gal to really stand in front of a pop band or whatever, I think if you're making a serious musical contribution, wouldn't that be the Talking Heads? Uh-oh, said it. And this is part of the reason that I bring some of these big-time female voices, like Lydia Pence. Remember the other day I was playing stuff from Cold Blood? That's all early 70s, you know, late 60s, you know. Mother's Finest, same time period as when Blondie came out. That's an interesting parlay there, isn't it? We'll play some of that material because it's real different sounding. And, you know, I love the girl bands. You know, definitely Debbie. You know, I went to see them when they were at the Whiskey in front of 500 people. But I don't know that that's the first of it. Might that not be Diana Ross? Might that not be Sarah Vaughan? Might that not be Billie Holiday? Might that not be Janis Joplin? Might that not been Tina Turner? And that reminds me, somebody just said that we can get Ike Turner on the show here. Hey, songs to beat your wife to. We'll start a new list, man. No. We'll serve Tina Turner fried chicken, lightly battered. you never know who's going to show up on the guest list. And I also discussed, you know, in terms of Blondie really bringing womanhood to the forefront of popular culture or Women's Lib or whatever she was reflecting on. I'm sure everybody was having a good time that night. I'm sure there was a fair amount of whatever it was they were drinking or doing backstage. Or maybe that they were doing it backstage when the band started. And now they do it at the table and they drink it. So I digressed with that also as well. I think probably the strongest women wouldn't be Debbie Harry in the band Blondie singing Heart of Glass. To me, the strongest women were always coming out of James Bond. Easily. Think of all the bad girls in James Bond. Holly Goodhead, Pussy Galore, they were all pilots. They flew jet planes. They flew combat helicopters. They all spoke four and five languages. They all knew multiple martial arts. They all knew how to operate firearms, tanks, Maseratis, underwater vehicles. They all could scuba dive. They all felt equally comfortable in underwear, formal wear, wedding dresses, and kung fu uniforms. I want to meet that girl. Come on, man. And yeah, I know, they were bad girls. They were negative girls. Hey, tell your mommy and your daddy, sometimes good guys don't wear white. Yeah. You got a comment, Animal? What do you think? Who was your favorite?
That was one girl you didn't mention, and she also had a music career, Grace Jones.
Okay, Grace was one of the very first to upset everybody. I think she caused major shock.
Yeah, I like her, too.
And you still see a lot of that style. You still see a whole lot of that, you know, her, that confrontational attitude. I'd sure like to see a lot more of the real thing. I just saw the new Kelly Clarkson video where she's pretending to be, Skater Boy? What's the name of Avril Lavigne? Yeah, she's pretending to be Avril. She's got the Avril haircut and the Avril pants and the Avril boots and the Avril jewelry and the Avril belly ring. And, you know, she's making the same Avril face, you know, where you act really angry. In fact, Sash, can you do this for me? Act like you're really angry and like, put your head in your hands. I learned how to do it from Christina Aguilera videos, and you may have seen it in a Britney video or a Lohan video, but I think that when Kelly does it, it's arguably the most successful version of I Can't Take This Anymore. It may well be the stylist that she can't take at this point in time, but what we're discussing here is true power and pretending the power. Is that what we're just saying?
Yes, sir.
But Grace Jones had no junk in the trunk. How would you possibly remember her?
Well, you know, like, because she had a nice voice, I think. You know, I had one of her albums once.
She didn't have a nice voice. She had an angry kind of voice. No, she had an aggressive kind of voice.
Like angry women.
Yeah. Pull up to the bumper, baby.
Yeah.
You'll still hear that kind of attitude. You still see, she was a James Bond villain.
That's what I'm talking about. She was one of the villains.
What was the name of her character? She was one of the best villains. Aww. All the women in James Bond were tough stuff. They all had multiple talents, well more than even James half the time, right?
Yeah.
And the only one who was a weakling was the
Moneypenny?
Yes, it. She was considered the smallest denomination because she was a secretary who was totally stricken with Bond. Okay? And clearly to the author, that was a weakness. That if the gal at the desk spent all of her time fawning over a dude, that was weak. To Ian Fleming, the author for James Bond, the strong babes were the ones who had all the talents, the ones who knew all the skills, the ones who weren't afraid to dust it up with you, or Animal, and then take off in your jet plane, never to return. I want to know that girl. Come on. Anyway, like I says, Steve Kandel got it right from Blender Magazine, talking about the worst moments in history of reality TV, coming up in a little while. And Bert Kreischer from Spike TV's Fresh Baked Video Games. I wonder what his take on, you know, the whole free speech element is. Because we had a cop call in yesterday. He says he doesn't care. You know, and there's a certain point when you're conditioning kids, but, you know, for the adults. And how old are adults today? That starts when you're operating a motor vehicle, right? When you're about 18. That's the break point. That's, you know, at that point, you're either are or you aren't. You're either good or you're bad. I think probably that works by the time you're 8 years old, right? You know, I don't know if you're going to change too many people after that point. If we have a chance, though, it'll happen here on Roth Radio. I see here that Bird Flu is coming to America. What band is that, Sash? Okay, I don't mean to make fun, but in a remarkable speech over the weekend, Secretary of Health and Human Services recommended that Americans start storing canned tuna and powdered milk. Jessica Simpson jumps to mind. And is she actually going to accidentally collect chicken? Is this really chicken? Because it says chicken of the sea. Step through the door. I don't mean to make fun of bird flu, but canned tuna and powdered milk, huh? It's being spread about much faster than first predicted, and there's no way you can protect the United States by building a big cage around it, okay? And they're taking all the precautions, etc. But the very next piece coming up on the news, it says, preparing for a pandemic. Most people don't even know what a pandemic is. That's like triple epidemic. And an expert goes over the must-haves. Over the weekend, the government told Americans to start storing canned food and powdered milk under their beds as the prospect of a deadly bird flu outbreak approaches the U.S. I'll finish reading it out because it's clearly important here. The fear is that the bird flu will turn into a pandemic, and that's big trouble. The Red Cross says that if there is, we need to prepare for 10 days of being stuck in our homes and that we may be without power and water during that time. In the delay, in the event of a bird flu epidemic, banks are going to close. Hospitals could be overwhelmed. Postal service. Experts also say that people need to stock up extra food, supplies, protective masks, flashlights. Do any of you really have an idea what they're talking about here? Sash, you have a look on your face like you sat in something very cold and very wet. Stand up, sugar. As a 21-year-old, do you have any idea what they're discussing here and what kind of preparations you need to take for this? Talk to me. What do you think?
Somewhat, but I didn't think it was like the whole world was going to shut down because of the
Okay, well, they're not going to shut down, baby. What they're talking about, though, is that there's something coming. This is dated March 14th, and they're recommending that people prepare at your home. How old is your father?
My father is 52, 53.
Okay, good enough. Has he and your mom started any kind of preparations?
No.
Have they laid in any kinds of provisions? Have they talked to you about any element of that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Animal, do you have anything prepared? Whether it's here in New York City or back at the shop in Los Angeles, have you laid in provisions? Are you prepared for something for the banks, the hospitals, the grocery stores, the water to shut off and everything?
Not for the bird flu, but I got, you know, earthquake stuff, you know.
Okay, well, what's earthquake stuff?
I got a lot of canned goods, a lot of powdered stuff, you know, just stuff that you can't actually cook on the stove. You know, you can just, like, eat it.
And for how long? How long are you prepared for?
10 days.
You're guessing.
Yeah, about 10 days.
Okay. How do you know that it's 10 days? I'm just curious. I'm interested in what you really prepared here, because I think we're going to get a lot of different vibes. Go ahead.
Because, you know, like, we would just, you know, put stuff like for our dogs, our animals and stuff. That's in a different crate. And the stuff that we eat, you know, we make sure it's like stuff like for make sandwiches, stuff like that, you know. And like I buy bread.
How do you make sandwiches? You got bread?
Yeah, I got bread, but I change it like every week, you know, just in case, you know. I don't let it sit out
and,
there.
And you're figuring for 10 days, right?
Yeah, for 10 days.
What about you, Hutch? You're from the UK. I don't know if you're ready for earthquake country where we came from out in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, terrorist preparation is the same as bird flu preparation, which is the same as. What kind of prep have you made?
I was in the middle of Hurricane Andrew down in Florida. Let me tell you what I got right now. Roll of duct tape and a book of stamps. How about that?
Okay, a book
post,
of what
post
kind of...
Post offices are going to be closed, he said, right?
Okay, you're talking about postage stamps. You ain't talking about food stamps or anything else. I don't even believe that you have the right kind of duct tape. No, I'm not kidding. You probably got the electrician's kind of duct tape. That when the humidity kicks in, it peels off the wall, right? That's what we've been using on the ceiling here. You can always tell when the humidity hits 72 degree saturation point because the plastic falls off the ceilings like that. I don't know.
No, I've got black gaff, which I'm an ex-roadie. I've got black gaff. I've got some of the silver duct tape. Always keep canned goods. But for 10 days, not a chance.
Yeah, that's a long run there. Be Young, you've lived the life outdoors. Beyond rock and roll and the road, you're a devout outdoor. You surf, you've camped, you've been around the world doing all of that. So you have a better sense than a lot of inner city people, perhaps, about what can happen when you got to essentially live outdoors. What kind of prep have you made?
I have 3 cans of tuna.
No, that's for lunch today.
I got nothing.
Seriously, nothing back in L.A.?
Oh, in L.A., there's a whole big old...
And
that won't do me any good out here.
What's in the big...
It's all, you know, first aid stuff. First aid stuff. It's one of those big first, I don't know.
I already understand.
Earthquake preparation kit.
I understand what it looks like. What's inside of it?
I have no idea.
Okay, well, that's my point, is that most people have no versification in what's required when you have to deal with catastrophe. And for most people, when the grocery store shuts down and the water stops and the electricity goes off, that's a catastrophe. Especially if you've made no preparation for something like this. And then when they start to put this kind of information just quick and fast, this high speed, low drag thing of, oh, just collect some tuna and some powdered milk. Great, where's the water going to come from, homeboy? Oh, well, we can get some powdered water, right? I'll share with you some ideas here. You came to the right radio station for this kind of info. No lie. Get up.
David Lee Roth, the 92.3 Free FM.
He just got an email here wondering who's the guitar player up front here. That's Brian Young. We rechristened him B. Young. That was a one initial. He survived the entire broadcasting career, which is going day by day now. We play it every day as if this was the last day. You may have noticed a colorful diversity in the music. Don't ask me to spell colorful, but we are it here. We've reached a pronounced a truce. I don't know, what do the French call it? Détente, which means we're each afraid of each other. We each have other wars that we're fighting, and we're a little extended, so we're not fighting with the suits upstairs. The guys have come across very cool, actually, at this point in time. Big shout out to Howard Stern. Again, he's been giving us good support and stuff on the TV set and so forth. There's a guy who doesn't have to do that at all, and I think it had some bearing on the folks. I call them the folks upstairs. You know, this is the engine room. Everybody's upstairs here. I referred to Booker and Danny and everybody. I said, you know, the guys upstairs, I think they actually do it from the studio here, don't they? Well, we start first thing in the day, so we're in the engine room. To me, those are officers. They've been doing it for a while here. And again, Howard gave out great shout-outs for us, and I think it had a great impact. All of you who sent in my body weight in emails as far as general support for, you know, what we do here and the kinds of grooves, and, you know, we play everything from old Rod Stewart to, you know, what you hear in the backgrounds here. And it's designed to be a little bit unique. Well, we didn't design anything. In fact, we make this up as we go. Virtually everybody in the room is standing on their feet now. We finally found a mic stand tall enough to fit Animal. We do the whole 4 hours on foot. People don't believe me, Sash, when I say that. But, yeah, we stand up. And that way, you can move your voice a little bit. There's a little more energy. You know, I was never really good at sitting down in general in the first place. You are standing up, aren't you, Sasha?
Yeah, I'm standing up and dancing. Hey.
Dancing.
Well, everybody does. You know, that's the groove that goes on here. So there has been a reasonable, polite truce going on here. And what we're doing is a little bit different. Derek Trucks, you know, fellow who's playing the guitar for the Allman Brothers, who are doing a string of gigs at the Beacon Theater here in New York City. Kid showed up, and he was surprised. He goes, wow, you've got a live guitar player in the studio. Yeah, that's the first guy. That's the first guy I signed up. Second was Animal. And then I needed a mix master, so we got Hutch. Well, actually, we needed one with a British accent. It's a thing I have from the 60s, man. Yeah. So, you know, instead of bringing the whole band, we, you know, we'd create something here called track blasting or nuclear karaoke, whatever you want to. Nuclear? It's karaoke. It's all karaoke to me. Go ahead, Brian. Play a little bit. Oh, yeah. You know what we ought to do? What we ought to do one of these days is put together all these loops. Let's go find a floor somewhere with a bunch of lounge couches around it and a lot of girls who look like Sasha. And let's take everybody down there and get behind the DJ booth and bang the loops here like this. Bring the guitar. Set. Oh, totally, man. And then, you know, get Hutch in there with a British accent going, all right, then.
On your feet.
You know, you look good. I feel good. Get up. And, you know, do station IDs in foreign languages and everything. We could sell T-shirts out front. Animal, let's sell T-shirts. Sasha will sell the T-shirts, and Animal will collect the money. Actually, we could just pass the hat. Animal could pass the hat, and we could all retire early.
Oh, yes.
Preparing for a pandemic. I just got an email here from a fella in England who says, Sheffield, England, Dave from Dave Howard. Morning, Dave. So far, bird flu is about to decimate the USA, eh? So far in Europe, it's wiped out up to 3 geese in Germany and a couple of cats in Belgium. Batten down the hatches, New York. Okay, here's the skinny, man. This is a little bit simpler than people expect, but whenever the call goes out, and I'm reading from the news, over the weekend, the government told Americans to... Well, what doesn't say what government? Of course! I'm going to suspect it's our government, okay? Over the weekend, the government told Americans to start storing canned foods and powdered milk under their beds as the prospect of a deadly bird flu outbreak approaches the U.S. And what they're talking about is we need to prepare, it says here, for 10 days of being stuck in our homes, and we may be without power and water during that time. Banks might close, hospitals could be overwhelmed, postal service could be spotty. Okay, now everybody says, okay, the bird flu is not going to be here. Even if they discovered it tomorrow, it's going to be
a fair amount of time before it turns pandemic. But didn't you just tell me, Hutch, that you've been through a catastrophe? What was that down in Florida?
I was down in the middle of Hurricane Andrew, and I was pretty well prepared for that, actually. I got ice, lots of water, lots
okay,
of
but
ice.
You were holding, they were telling you over the radio, same kind of thing. Prepare, kind of thing. Big storm coming, right?
Yeah, you have time because you can actually see a hurricane coming, but we didn't know roughly where. If you remember, it dog-legged down to the south. It wiped out a lot of the homestead area around there, too. But you have a little bit of time before a hurricane.
How much time did you have to prepare for this?
Probably, well, you know, you look at probably 4 or 5 days before you know that it's actually targeting you and it's coming your way. But Brian was talking to me a little earlier about earthquakes. Totally different for an earthquake. You don't know that sucker's coming.
Okay, you don't know, but the preparation is the exact same. Okay.
Yeah, you just have to, for an earthquake, and I've never been in one of those, you'd have to do it, you know, you'd have to have something there, under your bed, ready.
Yeah, with a hurricane, you got a couple of days, everyone knows a hurricane's coming for a few days.
Especially if you're watching the TV set and whatnot. First thing you got to do is remain cool, because I remember spending a month in Polynesia, and I was going from different islands, you know, I was kayaking, actually, and on the island of, it was in the Tuamotus, it was Rangiroa. Actually, a very small island that's renowned for all the sharks that surround it. Real small place. You could probably get all the way around it in an hour, all right? And Tahiti, in general, had just been decimated by a major, major hurricane. This was in the, early 80s, okay? And the call came out while I was on that island. Somebody heard a boat making a call saying that there was another hurricane coming like this. Virtually everybody left the shore. There were no other tourists there, but virtually everybody who was inhabitant there, all the, you know, all nationals, all Tahitians, nobody spoke English or anything except me. Everybody rushes to the highest point on the mountain by lunchtime, okay? Everybody moves, the kids, all personal belongings, everything, approximately 1,000 meters up into the middle of the island and waited, and then right around happy hour, this ugly little French tramp steamer comes walking in. Finally, somebody with a pair of binoculars reads the name and says, "The Hurricane." Remaining cool is probably the first element of all of this, okay? It shows just quick how, you know, things can snap out of order. I don't even know what the bird flu is, but I can share with you a lot of the prep here, you know, after a life basically outdoors and a whole lot of... believe me, what I tell you here is a conglomeration of every instructor, every DI, every surgeon, every outdoorsman, every climber, every EMT, every paramedic, every Green Beret, every anybody that has ever been one of my instructors, okay? First thing you're going to want to watch out for is your water. And when they talk about drinking a gallon per person, I'll share with you the easiest way to knock this out, okay? Figure 4 of those big bottles of water that you buy in the liquor store, okay? Because most people think about, I don't want to lug a gallon of water, and how do I share a gallon of water? It's real simple. 4 bottles of that per person per day. Figure out how many days you got to go. Let's just say it's 10 days, okay? You got 2 people. You're going to need 80 bottles of that. I know. It's a problem, you dig? But you're gonna have to get somebody like Animal or your buddies or your dad or your, you know, whoever, lug it up into the apartment, lug it down to the basement, stick it under the bed, put it out in the shack, whatever it is, goes the same whether you're inner city or whether you are out in the great woods, okay? You got to figure 4 bottles of that for yourself, because you're going to be using it for cooking, you're going to use it for shower, you're going to use it for drinking, you're going to use it for feeding the dogs and the cats, you're going to use it for a whole lot more things than you think you are. So count 4 per day per person. You got 1 person for 10 days, that's 40 bottles of it. How many bottles come in a case? Really?
36, usually, something like that, I think, in a big case.
The big ones. Yeah. The big 2-liter bottles, okay? There's maybe 10 bottles in that,
okay,
something.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, 4 cases, you're set. All right, get the cases of water. And the reason that you don't want to get the big jugs of water is because if you're stuck, especially in a little place, a little apartment, or you're isolated somewhere out in the suburbs or whatever, you may be sharing with your family. You may be sharing with your loved ones. You got a plan, right? Your grandparents are going to come over. Your aunts and uncles are going to show up. Everybody who you owe money is going to show up, knock on the door and go, "Hey, I need some water." What are you going to say? Seriously. So you don't want to have a big jug of 1 gallon of water. Because if somebody gets sick, and that's going to happen, somebody's going to get the flu. Somebody's going to get a cold. Somebody's going to have upper respiratory. Somebody's going to get whatever, that hacking cough or whatever. And you don't want them drinking out of the jug. And you don't want them handling the bottle even. You dig? Because you're passing around. That's when those individual bottles are going to come in into real good play there. When you're done with it, you throw the bottle away. Or if you have to, you burn it. Okay? As far as towels, a lot of people think, oh, wow, I'm going to need that for, you know, taking a bath or whatever. No. As soon as you use a towel one time to wipe yourself off, that's now a living Petri dish. It's covered with bacteria. And it's not going to dry out unless you take it out into the sun. There hadn't been any sun around here in weeks. The only thing you're going to use bath towels for is warmth. You're going to find out real quick you didn't stock up enough blankets and sleeping bags, and you're going to realize real quick that terry cloth is really good as a warmth thing. You can wrap your kids in it. You can wrap your dogs in it. You can wrap yourself in it, as long as it's wet. When it becomes wet, cotton kills. You're going to want to throw it away, okay? So you're only going to use those towels for blankets. What are you going to use when you bathe yourself? Paper towels. Paper towels you can use for virtually anything. You don't want to wipe up anything with an actual bath towel, okay? Because that becomes like a Petri dish, you dig? And when you use your paper towels, you can use it for anything. And then when you're done, you burn it. You follow what I'm saying here? Now, here's the most important thing. You're going to want to get yourself those 30-gallon Big Glad bag garbage bags. Get the one with the draw ties on top. The biggest mistake that most people make is they continue to use the bathroom when the water shuts off. And the first thing you're creating is a huge Petri dish, just like in a laboratory somewhere. You use that toilet one time and you can't flush it. You have created an infective process there that very few other people are going to tell you about this. If you have a family, if you've got 4 people or 5 people or 6 people and you've only got 2 bathrooms, you don't use them at all. Here's the first thing you use that duct tape for. You tape the lid shut so that grandma and the little kids don't accidentally go use the toilet, because there's no way to get rid of it. And that's where everybody's going to get sick. And don't fool yourself. Closing the door does nothing but fan the air in and out of your apartment or your house or wherever this is. Take the duct tape, wrap it around the toilet. Nobody uses it. Put a sign up in 5 languages. And says no skateboarding here. Well, then what do we do, Dave? Thanks for telling us about the garbage bags. As soon as you're done each time, tie it off, burn it along with the paper towels, and you can use the paper towels for that. By the way, you're going to need a few paperbacks, and I'll recommend those after this.
Związane z dalszym rozwojem województwa i kraju.
Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Talking about getting prepared. Evidently, the government is telling people start worrying about the bird flu and telling folks to store canned foods and powdered milk under their beds. And that's about as far as anybody goes. The rest of it is the banks might close, the hospitals could close, the postal service could stop, the water's going to stop, the gas will stop, etc., etc. I don't know if the bird flu is going to cause all of this instantly, but, you know, as we go around the room, we got calls right right away of people saying, oh, I was through a hurricane. I lived through an earthquake right away. You know, Animal says earthquake preparedness. I almost lost my house in the last big earthquake in Los Angeles. It took me 7 years in the court system to get paid back because so many people got their stuff destroyed. They lost all their belongings. They lost their homes, especially if you're middle income, okay? When they start talking about, oh, just collect some tuna and some powdered milk. What are you going to put in the powdered milk? I figured, okay, I'll share with you some of the ideas here. And we were talking about how much water you're going to need. You're going to need the plastic bags, okay? Because you're going to stop using the bathroom right away. When the water finishes, it's not coming out of the tap. It's not going to work the toilet. It's not going to work the shower or anything else. And you're going to stop using bath towels for any of that. Because once somebody wipes themselves off with a bath towel, that towel isn't going to dry. And if you put it up in the sun, well, I hope you live somewhere where it's perfectly sunny, because if you live near the ocean, there's salt air and things don't dry outdoors as quick. When you're on a sailboat, I've spent some great times out, long times out on a sailboat, nothing ever dries. That's why I look as old as I do. Really, you get your t-shirt dipped in the ocean, no matter how bright that sun is outside. You've been surfing like in Nicaragua. That's unbelievable equatorial sun, okay? Did your stuff ever dry out?
It's got that sticky feeling for the rest of the day.
For the
trip.
Yes, and you can hang it from the mast and use the wind and everything. It will not dry. And when you sweat, you got salt going in there, okay? One of the things you got to start watching out for is taking care of yourself, so you're going to be eating salt. And when you use a bath towel for that, you might as well just throw it away because it becomes a source for somebody to get sick from, okay? I call it a Petri dish, like the little dishes they use in a laboratory for creating cultures, bacterial cultures. That's what's going to happen. You might as well just seal the whole bathroom off because every time you move that door open and closed, you're just fanning whatever's growing in there into the room where everybody's living, all right? Start thinking like Diary of Anne Frank for a change, because when people were down downtown during Hurricane Katrina, that's how they had to live, okay? When half of the Los Angeles area fell in on itself like a bunch of cards, that's how people had to live. I made a video with Isham, who's done all the old Bon Jovi videos, etc. For 2 weeks, he lived in a tent in front of his house up in the valley, okay, San Fernando Valley. He lived with his 18-year-old son. He had another kid. He had his wife. He had the dog, and they lived in two tents parked on the front lawn of a million-dollar house because the house fell in on itself, okay? This is not an exaggerated issue. When we talk about terrorists and what could happen in the inner-city environment where I currently live, same kind of a thing. You want to stock up on the water. You want to stock up on the plastic bags, all the garbage bags, etc. The biggest thing that you're going to have to worry about is not getting sick. You got to stock up on whatever's going to keep you warm. Most of us live where it's not a real clement environment. And again, even if you're living by the ocean down in South Florida, you get that salt air on you, it starts becoming humid and raining, something like that, in the summertime like that, you're not going to dry out. Anybody who's made the mistake of dipping their head in the ocean and going, it'll dry out while I sleep, wakes up snotting and coughing like a stripper on a Sunday morning, man. They didn't actually teach me that analogy. I had to learn that myself. Seriously. And, cotton is great for many, many different things. Cotton is a superb fiber for all kinds of things. The t-shirt you're wearing is great. It's appropriate here. Out in the great outdoors for a number of years now, there are a lot of us who maintain that cotton kills. Again, cotton, when it gets wet, it transmits your heat out. Those of you who've ever do what I do, like on the weekends, you eat a big cheeseburger and fries and then you go to sleep and it kicks in about 3 hours. You wake up kind of perspiring, you're a little bit sweaty or whatever. If you're wearing a cotton t-shirt, that's a quick trip to the snots. That's a quick trip to coughing and hacking because it's not going to dry out and your heat will wick out while you're sleeping. Same thing for cotton hats, same thing for wearing jeans. The last thing you want to do is get caught out in the snow in a pair of jeans. Last thing you want to do is get caught we're out in the rain where there's salt in the air and have a long way to get back home wearing a pair of jeans and a t-shirt. You go for the synthetics, man. Synthetic, synthetic, synthetic. I got caught up in a storm on a wall in Yosemite, California. We were doing rock climbing, multi-day stuff, multi-pitch stuff. I thought I was going to die. It started raining. Everybody else was fine. I was being cool. I brought a number of t-shirts and some sweatshirts like that, and it started falling straight down on us like a shower. Lasted almost a day and a half, and I just almost froze myself to death. Luckily, I had a sleeping bag that was synthetic. Cotton kills, man. You got to watch out. And it's great for all kinds of other apparel, but in terms of a survival issue, you got to get PolyPro. All that synthetic long underwear. Get yourself a couple of pants. Get yourself a couple of shirts, like the, you know, what's your standard long, you know, Patagonia or Eastern Mountain Sport. Any sports store carries this, okay? This is what everybody's running in. This is what everybody rides their bicycles in. This is what people go climbing in, etc., etc. This is easy to find. Stock it away. Don't use it as your daily thing, because it's going to get lost in the laundry, and catastrophe will always strike while the laundry is out. Make sure your hat is the same thing. You don't want a cotton hat. Make sure that you've got something that is synthetic, because you're going to be sleeping in it. The whole issue is to not get sick, because if you get sick and you don't have the water running and you don't have access to the doctor and to the right food, etc., it turns into a monster, but quick. It's like on the road when somebody on the bus gets sick. Wow, it's like Das Boot. Within a week, everybody's got it, and nobody gets better until the next vacation. Be young. You survived this. Remember, you weren't playing with us when our drummer Ray Luzier caught the flu, couldn't get off that bus for 2 weeks, and wound up in the hospital for 2 weeks. Flat out, okay? This is a guy who never drinks, never smokes, only parties. But he doesn't have any bad health habits. Boom, flat out on his back. Major player, major athlete, boom, flat on his back there. You want to make sure that you stay warm, warm. Way easier to get rid of clothing than to go, geez, I wished that I had stocked something away, okay? As far as food, you're going to get tired of tuna fish very quickly. If you're going to go stocking up on food, you know what the easiest, coolest, fastest thing to do that you can do right as soon as the show is over is you go and get the big, those Hungry Man soups, those hearty soups or whatever, okay? Because you can eat them cold. Most people won't tell you. That's the break point. You're going to get so sick of eating cold food that you're going to want the variety there. And there's no reason not to have the variety. If you go out and you start buying just tuna fish, like, you're going to stop buying it because something in your brain goes, I don't ever eat this stuff to begin with. What do I have? Why do I want this? So you got to start thinking in terms of what are you going to want to eat? And that's going to be appealing to you and appealing, more importantly, to your kids. It's going to be appealing more to grandma. Hey, does grandma have teeth? Better average that into the diet, okay? Because it's all going to become part of. As soon as grandma doesn't eat right, grandma gets sick. Now the whole room is coughing and hacking. You follow? And now you're going to need antibiotics. How many of you are already taking antibiotics? Do you have some stored? Do you have some prepped in case a month goes by that you can't go get your prescription filled? Let's simplify it even more. Every third pickup that I made as an EMT here in New York, in all the boroughs of New York, I worked for 2 summers. Every third call we made was some poor character who was living off of all kinds of inhaled respiratory medications, asthma, allergies, bronchitis, etc. Did you save your meds? Do you have enough? Or are you a person who goes down every week and restocks? Are you waiting for the mail to bring your medications? Do they come to you by postman? Because there may not be a postman. Do you save enough over onto the side like this? And as far as, you know, your general tools and everything, how are you going to get that can open? Hey, we got soup. Who brought the can opener? That's why you tune into Roth Radio. Give it up, man.